So, got your Bibles? Luke 6. You're going to have your Bibles ready today. Have y'all noticed our numbers are kind of steady, but my left is growing, my right is shrinking. So I got more Democrats than Republicans. Just saying. Just saying. I figured one of you brilliant Auburn engineers would say, well, that may be your left and right, but ours is the opposite. I figured that you might say that to me. All right, look at Luke chapter 6. I know where you sit. You sit to my left. No, I don't. I sit to your right. You sit to my left. It may be your right, but it's my left. Okay, look with me in Luke 6 and verse 12. In these days, that was the days of controversy and challenge to Jesus, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples. So he had all of these disciples following him, and out of the disciples, he chose from them the disciples 12, whom he named apostles. So guys, just a word here. One of the reasons this is important is because not only do we need to learn from these models of virtue and fault, you got both. Remember that. Give me, other than Jesus, one perfect model for life among humanity. No, great people, learners, have always learned how to learn from the past with discrimination, live in the present with determination to change the future as a declaration. That's what they learn to do. To learn from the past, that means I'm looking at some great person, and what am I able to do? Find the value and their virtues. And then what? Eliminate their faults. I don't want to imitate their faults. I want to eliminate those. But I want to imitate the values and the virtues. I don't know of a single person. Try David. So y'all want to take all the Psalms out of the Bible? You want to take, Chronicles and Samuel? You want to just eradicate that? No. David was a great sinner and a great repenter. And therefore, he showed a great heart for God. So we learned, we don't want no Bathsheba stuff. That can lead to murder, stealing, and everything else, as well as adultery. And so you learn how to do that. So that's what I'm trying to do with you and for you for the apostles. These guys are not perfect. They're sinners saved by grace. But they got some great things to learn. And in their life, you can see where they themselves begin to eliminate what you ought not to imitate. And that's what we ought to imitate, is how they eliminate it. And you're going to see that today in James. So here's apostles. We're learning. By the way, don't forget, you're an apostle. Hold it now. You're not a capital A apostle. So don't go lay hands on me and tell me you're going to heal me. You're not a capital A apostle. But we all are A. What does apostle mean? Sent ones. We're all, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So we're all small A apostles. So there's so much that we can get from this. Now, so let's pick up. So when prayer came, he called them and he named them as apostles. Now who are they? Always list Simon first. Simon, whom he named Peter. Rock. You can call him Rocky. And Andrew, his brother. Andrew is short for Andros, man. So the word means manly. That's what we studied last week. Andros, and it's it means manly. We move from Peter and Andrew's brother now to James and John, again two brothers. Then to Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas, and here's another James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So, we've looked at Peter, we've looked at Andrew, now we come to James. But James, you got to look at in the context of John. So some of the things I'm saying this week about James, I'll repeat next week about John. You know why? They're brothers. Isn't that a brilliant insight? And y'all paid a lot of money for that, so you better grab it, okay? So James and John are brothers. Huh? Do you want to teach this? That's point number one. Would you wait till I get there, please? So, but they're not only sons of thunder. They're sons of something else, too. And they're sons of, in fact, sons of three things in the text. And so we'll get to that. All right. Now, so here we are. We're looking at James and John. So I want you to go with me now back to the Gospel of John. Go with me to the Gospel of John. How does James get to Jesus? Let's go to the Gospel of John. And go to John chapter 1. We've been here, I know, but you'll see some repetition of text because the apostles are in selected texts usually. So we got James chapter 1, and if you'll go down to the moment where Jesus and John see each other, the second day, go down to verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So he repeated what he said the day before. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So now you see John doing what he was called to do, to clear the way for people to come to Jesus. And here are two that are the fruit of that. So Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" In other words, we're seeking you. We want to be with you. We want to be with you and among you. And he said to them, "Come and you will see." Now, by the way, that's a very pregnant statement. He's not talking about coming. He's not just talking about where he's staying at Bethany over the Jordan. You're going to see when you get to the new heavens and the new earth. I got a place I'm preparing for you. So come and you will see. So he says, and then he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. But it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew. That's who we studied last week. Manly. So, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall now be called Cephas," which means Peter. So, of the 12, we have the gathering of the first three at this point, right? We got two disciples that were with John, one of which we know was named what? Andrew, who went and got his brother. So now we got an unnamed disciple who's come to Jesus and followed him. And then we got what? We've got Andrew who goes and gets his brother. Andrew, his brother, and an unnamed disciple. Now guys, stop right here. I don't want to get overly in the weeds on this, but this is very important because later he's going to call them from a fishing boat to follow him. So there are critical commentaries that say, hey, you got an error. John thought they were converted this way. John the Apostle thought they were converted this way and writes it like this. But Matthew thought they were converted another way from the boats and wrote about their conversion out at the boat. So which one was it? Well, guys, hello? We got some guys that are pretty well-to-do. They've taken some time to go to a rabbi named John, a prophet. They are learning from him. He points them to Jesus. They then go to Jesus to follow him. But they don't at this point live with him. They're living with him that day, it says. They're going to go back home. They got a business to attend to. So they're going to go back home, get a business to attend to. And then Jesus is going to come back to the Galilee, go to his hometown, get run out, and then come to Capernaum, where he's going to what? See him fishing. Now we got round two. Any of y'all ever been called by Jesus and you made a commitment to Jesus? And then later, another crisis moment in your life where Jesus calls you to another level of your walk with him? That's what's happening. This isn't two different accounts. This is two different events in the lives of the guys that are there. Okay, you with me? All right, so now, but let's go from there. So the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Well, I will be back here, so I'm not going to spend any more time there. But now we're up to five. We got the unnamed disciple, we got Andrew, we got Peter, we got Philip, we got Nathanael, right? Okay. And he said to him, and then go down to verse 51, "I say to you, you will see heaven..." we won't finish that. So then he goes to the wedding feast at Cana. Now go back with me to verse 40. One of the two who heard John speaking and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." Who's the we? Me and the other disciple that's unnamed. "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Christ, Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. So we got five. I would propose to you, actually, we don't have five. We got six. Now let me tell you why. Who's writing this? John. Who has a brother named what? James. And in fact, got an older brother named James. And in the book of John, John refers to himself numerous times, but never names himself. He calls himself the other apostle, or an apostle Jesus loved, or a disciple that Jesus loved. Never names himself. So I think I've got warrant to believe this unnamed apostle, disciple that's come to Jesus with Andrew is John. Now, I will confess at this point speculation, but I think it's sanctified. I think it's sanctified speculation. I don't claim inerrancy, just claim speculation, but sanctified. I think it makes sense. All right. In your Bible, James and John are always referred together. In fact, James is never named in the Bible by himself, except when he dies. Every other time, you got James and John. Now, of the two, who's the most known? John. And who is it that isn't the most known? That's James. I would suggest to you, maybe Peter might have been older, but my guess is James, if he wasn't the oldest, he was one of the oldest of the apostles. And by the way, there are a number of James in the Bible. There are, in the New Testament, there are five Jameses in the New Testament. And one of them will become the pastor, Jesus' half-brother, will become the pastor of the church at Jerusalem and will become the moderator of the first General Assembly in Acts chapter 15. So we got another James listed with the apostles, James the younger, and which tells you this James is considered the older. But there's very little about James. You got a lot about John. Even when John doesn't name himself, you know you got a lot about John. And you got five books of your Bible that come from John. You got John. You got John. And you got Revelation. It's not hard to forget his books. I mean, not hard to remember his books. You got Big John. You got Little John. You got Littler John. And you got Littlest John. And then you got Revelation. And you can remember that. So there's a lot about John, but not much about James. And mostly James is known in context with John. I believe John and James were pretty much inseparable. And I think he gives you an account of Andrew getting his brother because, I think that's what John does, he gets his brother. But my biggest evidence is the next time John and James show up and following Christ, they're together. So I think John has introduced James. Now, whether he introduced him personally right here or not, or whether he waited to introduce him later at Capernaum, I don't know. But I believe that James is inseparable from John in his walk with the Lord and is constantly mentioned together, except when James dies. So that's my speculation. Now, what do we want to know about James? Well, here's another thing. We actually know... Okay, no, wait just a minute. We actually know who his father is, don't we? He is the son of... Zebedee. He is the son of Zebedee. So that's one son. And then he's also the son of, and all God's people said, all right, thunder. And he is also the son of, I love it. He is the son of Salome. That's his mother. There are two Salomes in your Bible. Who, and by the way, that actually comes from, that's a nounizing a word that's called shalom, peace. And it Romanizes shalom in order to make it a name. Who is the other Salome? She's the one that got John the Baptist's head. She was the dancer. And she got the head of John the Baptist by her beguiling of Herod Antipas. And I keep wanting to say Antipater, but it's Antipas in this case. And she got him. And then got John the Baptist. But this Salome shows up, crucifixion, resurrection, part of the women team that followed the disciples. So, if that's his mother, who would have been her husband? This isn't hard. Zebedee. That's her husband. So you got, and then here's something else we find in the Bible. She is the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She is the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here's something else we find in the Bible, therefore. John and James are Jesus' cousins. They're cousins. And now speculation. This is not sanctified speculation. This is informed specialists. Extra-biblical historians, notably Eusebius, who is overall rather trustworthy, tell us, we don't have it in the Bible, so I'm saying it's speculation. Mary's mother, and therefore Salome's mother, was someone named Anne. And of course she has sainthood in the Roman Church. Saint Anne, A-N-N-E, and it is stated that she had three daughters, but here would be two. Now, we don't know for sure any of that. That's extra biblical information. But we do know that they're sisters, and we do know that that means John and James are cousins to Jesus. I don't know how close the families were. They obviously didn't live far away, because John and James lived in Capernaum, and Nazareth is, you know, it's about a day walk, a whole hard day walk from Capernaum to Nazareth. It's a 40 minute drive for us when we go visit it, when I take people there. But it's about a day's walk, and a beautiful walk through right by the Tower of Migdol, and it's really nice. So this is who John and James are. In the Bible, they always show up together. So I want to take you through three events very quickly to point out something about them for us to learn from history, to live in the present, to change the future. Take your Bibles and go with me to Luke. Let me make sure I got this right. Take your Bibles and go with me to Matthew and chapter 20. Matthew and chapter 20. All right, where is my... I got a note here on this. I want to read. Go with me to, Matthew chapter 20. Could I get a volunteer to stand up and read verses 20 through 24? Matthew 20. 20 through 24. Not everybody at once, just somebody. All right. Thank you, Bill. Matthew 20 and 20 through 24.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you..."
Hold it. Wait. Sorry, I got out of order.
Okay.
Sit down, Bill. I've always wanted to do that without him pinching my head off. But you're going to stand back up. You're going to stand up, both of you. You're going to stand up again in a minute. I need someone to... I need y'all to turn to Luke chapter 9. Keep that right in front of you. I want to get this in the right order, chronologically. That's my problem. Should have waited till I found it. All right, Luke chapter 9. Okay, I want you to slip down with me in Luke chapter 9. All right, go down to verse 51. Yeah, and I want somebody to read. I need somebody to read for me Luke 9:51 through 56. Okay, who'll do that?
When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village.
So as our brother rightly pointed out to us, they're called the Sons of Thunder, and this is the event where they get their nickname. Now sometimes it's really interesting how James and John are referred to together, and then they're also referred to, they're called the Sons of their mother, and they're called the Sons of Zebedee, and they're also called the Sons of Thunder, and it relates to this request or question that they ask of Jesus. So Jesus, this is toward the end of his ministry, he is headed to Jerusalem. Now he's done this twice. He's already done it one time. He came from Jerusalem back to Galilee through Samaria. He said, I must go through Samaria. Why? Well, he had somebody he was going to lead to saving faith. It was a woman at the well. And that was going to provide a very interesting exposition on what is true worship. But that's not all that happens. Now, at the end of his public ministry, he's headed to Jerusalem to be delivered up. He's been to the Mount of Transfiguration. They've come down. They're headed. And he says, we're going through Samaria. Now, that makes sense. It's the shortest route. But it doesn't make sense because Samaritans hate Jews. Jews hate Samaritans. In fact, Samaritans, Jews, if they were ever found on Samaritan territory, they would wipe the dust off their feet. That this was considered unclean. So his disciples are going with him. They're going through those cities. They send word on ahead. And what do the people do? They reject him. Now, when they found out he's going to Jerusalem, A, he's a Jew, B, he's on his way, so they reject this famous rabbi by this time at the end of his ministry. And what is that? That gets the disciples mad, particularly John and James. And, what has Jesus done to Samaritans? He made one of a focus of a parable. He healed a Samaritan of leprosy. I mean, he had led a woman at the well to saving faith, and now they're going to reject him? And this is the Son of God you're rejecting? They're mad. And so John and James said, Jesus, you want us to call down thunder? Now remember, they've already had the experience that where he sent them out to the villages and gave them the power, great miraculous power, as signs of an apostle. So now he said, you want to call down fire from heaven? These are sons of thunder. We're going to rain down fire. I mean, you're talking about some thunder. There's going to be some thunder here. I mean, let me translate. Jesus, you want us to nuke them? Do we have a tactical nuclear bomb that we can drop right there on that city? And when Jesus, of course, he says no. And they don't do that. But now you get a little insight. Would you say John and James are a little tempestuous? Would you say they're a little aggressive? Would you say they're rather bold? Yeah? And they're all of that. They're thunderous. Just call them. Just make it into an adverb. They're thunderous in their way of life. And that's who they are. And that's what we find out about them. Now, by the way, just one other thing. You got to put that in context. Where is the village in Samaria, and where's Samaria? It's right next door to a valley called Jezreel, underneath the shadow of Megiddo, the mountain of Megiddo, and the valley of Megiddo, also called the Valley of Jezreel. That was a place of prophetic word, the Battle of Armageddon. It's also a word that describes enormous battles. That's been the number one battlefield in the world. The two main roads that connect all the continents went right through this broad plain. And by the way, when I stand there and show people this valley from Mount Carmel, which overlooks it, every once in a while, it almost always happens, the valley, a place right in the middle of the valley will raise up. And then coming out from underneath where it raised up will be about 3 or 4 jets. It's an underground jet place. Israeli Air Force. And one of the men that designed it was an elder in this church, Ted Randolph. And he stood there with me and explained it one time because he had been part of the team that designed it. And so here's this great battlefield. I mean, you ever heard of somebody named Deborah? That's where she got a victory. Have you ever heard of somebody named Elijah? He got a victory. What did God send from heaven? Fire. And destroyed what? Prophets of Baal. They're just around the corner from where that happened. That's a Bible story from the Old Testament. They know. And And we're right here. We're nearby these apostate pagans, these Samaritans. And they won't take you. They reject you. Let's rain down fire. And of course, Jesus says, no. Why? It's not the time. What Jesus is doing right now is baptizing with the Spirit his people to bring them to himself. But there's coming a day he'll baptize with what? Fire. There are people that come up to me quoting the passage in Matthew about, that there's one coming after me, John says, that will baptize. I baptize with water, but one coming after me will baptize with the Spirit and with fire. And so people have said to me, Harry, did you get that fire baptism yet? And I said, no, and I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it because you go read the context. It says those who are baptized with the Spirit are gathered into his barn. Those who are baptized with fire are like the chaff which is burned up and thrown away. Jesus comes to baptize his people with his Spirit to bring them to himself and seal them by the Spirit. But the next time he comes, he'll baptize with fire. And that's judgment. And the reason you can be baptized with the Spirit is because Jesus went to the cross and took the baptism of fire of hell for you at the cross. So that you can be baptized with the Spirit now. John and James, this ain't the time for fire baptism. This is the time for me to go to the cross and for it to fall on me, not them. And when he raises up, what does he say? Go and preach the gospel. Where? Come on, guys. Where are you going to preach the gospel? Everywhere? Okay. Come on. Uttermost part of the world, but start with the beginning. We're going to come back here with Holy Spirit baptism. That's what we're going to do, because I'm going to take their fire baptism. And now I'll send you back here to bring the gospel. And one of the ones that'll come is Peter, that'll come with that glorious gospel witness to the praise of his name. All right, so here's the one. So we got sons of thunder, and we got, but now we're going to the sons of a mother. Now, Bill, ready? Matthew 20.
Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? She said to him, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one on your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by the Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers.
So, all right, so let's get to the, I got 5 minutes, so let's get to it. So Jesus, they come up to Jesus, and their mother comes up with a request. Now, who, by the way, who is this? Who's their mother? Who is his? They're taking the inside road here. Hey, let's send our mama. And by the way, I believe it was James and John's idea to ask her to do it. I don't think it was hers. And the reason why this event is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, and she's not even mentioned. It was their idea, according to Mark. But we find out they recruited mama to go do that. By the way, this will happen twice. It'll happen again in the upper room. They're going to make, you'd think they'd learn the lesson here, but no, they don't learn it here. They're going to ask it again when they get to the upper room. So here is the request. We want to be on the right and the left. Places of honor. Now, why would they bring that up? Well, here's one of the reasons why. If you'll go back to the previous chapter, I don't have time, Matthew 19:28, you'll find that Jesus said to his apostles, the new heavens and the new earth are coming, and you serve me, and you will sit on 12 thrones. Well, he's already told them they're going to get thrones. So James and John, They're going to try to skip ahead of Peter. And they're going to say, hey, how about cousins? How about we get the right and we get the left? Of course, I'd love it if Jesus said, okay, and then watch, argue which one's going to get the right and which one's going to get the left. Now, over there's the disciples, and when they hear this request through Jesus' aunt, Salome, that comes to him, what do? They get mad. Why do they get mad? Because they didn't think of it first. That's why. They hadn't thought of it yet. So he had said, you're going to get 12 thrones. They said, oh, okay, so can we get left and right? That's where we're right there beside you, left and right. Then Jesus says, you want to be left and right? Well, that's not mine. That'll be the Father's. But to be there, you got to drink a cup. It's a cup that I'm going to drink. Are you ready to drink my cup of suffering? And what'd they say? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's kind of like Peter. I'm thick and thin. I'm with you to the end. They may deny you, not me. I'll be right there. You can see that there's great maturation that needs to take place in these guys' life. All right, last thing, and then we'll close. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Here's the only time in the Bible that James, that I have found, that James is mentioned alone. Acts chapter 12. And let's see, what are we going to read here? We'll read, let's just read the first. I'm going to go ahead and read five verses. Go ahead, read them. Rob, you got it? Stand up and read it, would you?
About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword.
Wait a minute, I just made a mistake. He's mentioned with John there, too. Okay, go ahead.
He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church.
And what's going to happen? He's going to be rescued. But in the sovereignty of God, who is the first apostolic martyr? James. James, not the first martyr, that's Stephen. But the first apostolic martyr is James. Who, as far as we know, will be the last apostle to die? John. James and John. And they will both do what? Suffer for the Lord. They will both suffer for the Lord, even unto the end. So, hope that's helpful. So you can see how the Lord works in our lives, takes us where we are, uses our inclinations, redeems them, forgives us, transforms us, and turns it into something that He can use for His glory from our conversion all the way to glory, as you see this in the life of James. Now, y'all got to pray for me. I don't know how I'm going to get everything in about John next week. But we'll do our best. We're going to dive into John. We got to cover five books of the Bible to get into John, but we'll try to. That'll be next week. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the time we've been able to be together. Thank you for the food and the fellowship and the prayer time we can have with each other. Would you bless it in Jesus' name? Amen.